I was just gonna type stream go bye bye, and then it came back. All right. Well, it's time for me to go bye bye anyway. I think the universe is trying to tell me something. Yeah, I don't know why I did that. I thought it was a problem with my access point. I would start having problems. And I changed access points. And it's still doing it. Believe it or not, in the living room, I had to, a while ago, I mean, you know, probably you here for an hour, you go now. I got one more story I got to get to, plus however many times I get derailed. I updated to, I got a new router, but it, you know, it's, when I say I got a new router, it was probably a year ago. And somebody had to come out for something. I was having a problem. He told me I could, you know, get faster speeds. I had to get a new modem. I still had a DOCSIS 3.0 modem. So I finally bought a 3.1. And then it's like, oh, we got, I mean, the router I was using didn't even have a gigabit port on it. And then you get a little bit more speed with a 3.1 modem, the guy was telling me. So then it you know, became time to get some gigabit switches. I still have the, you know, the big 20-port one in the basement from Wolf FM, but I've got a gigabit one ahead of it to send gigabit, you know, upstairs and to the living room and to the studio, to the workshop. Remember I made a comment earlier about I got a notification that my refrigerator is offline. Well, not my refrigerator, but the sensor of the refrigerator. So that's one of the signs that I think it's actually the switch. I think the switch is flaky. I have to reset it periodically. So I reset the, and if I just reset the switch, my whole network was being slow. And I said, all right, I'm going to have to take stuff apart in the living room. Well, I wasn't trying to fix that. There was something in the living room that I had to take down the TV so I could get behind it, and cleaned up the wiring a little bit. And when I put it back together, everything was fast again. And I said, oh, well, that's interesting. So over time, it happened a couple of times, and I said, could it be the switch? And that's what it was. Haven't changed it yet, but yeah, I think I need a new switch. So I was saying earlier, I had a caffeine pill. Oh, I remember I had to stop taking caffeine years ago before one of my sleep studies. And after not having any for 10 days, when I took it, I really felt it. Like, whoa, wee! Well, I don't feel it anymore. I just don't have the energy. It'll make me move where otherwise I just have no desire to or energy to. It's sort of like energy is enthusiasm with me. I used to talk about this, you know, years ago. So I did take a caffeine pill and I did get something done that I've been wanting to do for weeks. I sliced up some meat and cheese. I hadn't done that in a long time. And I'm like, I got to do that. And I took a caffeine pill and I did it. But I didn't feel it. As long as it's been since I had any 100 milligram caffeine pill, I, you know, should have felt it. And it's been years since I've been able to take a 200 milligram one and not get broken. But taking the glycine, I'm sleeping better. I'm sleeping longer, even if I wake up during the night. And I'm not sleeping during the day anymore. So that's big. And I also got, I tried them in the morning, didn't really feel anything, but I got some ginseng. It's not a stimulant, but it's, they say it's stimulating. But I looked for a long time for something that would help me when I would start to fade out. The coconut oil kind of helps. But the last couple of times, I felt like I was going to fall asleep and didn't want to. Most of the time, I would just let it happen. I tried taking a couple of those ginseng pills. And it's enough. See, I've done it twice. It seems to be enough. I think I've done it three times. I actually have two different. Again, I questioned whether the stuff I had, whether I could do better, because I bought another bottle. One bottle said standardized to 95% or something, and the other bottle didn't say anything. But it's too soon to tell because I've only tried the new stuff a couple of times. But it's supposed to be, it's supposed to like help wake you up. It's not as strong as caffeine. But it's supposed to be stimulating. But it seems to be enough to keep me from drifting off. And so I'm gonna put some of that in my bag. That, you know, I offered Bruce some caffeine. He's like, "Oh, I can't have caffeine," and you know, cause, and I, yeah, it's commonly in energy drinks, but it's, you know, it's mild, but it'll be in there with other things. She says, "I think the Australian drinks had ginseng and stuff in them for the energy drinks I used to drink." Yep, you commonly see it in gin. That tea I used to drink, you know, Renee will be proud of me. I stopped drinking the Arizona iced tea. You know, I wanted something that didn't have sugar in it, but it, again, I looked at the label and there was something in there that wasn't great. I haven't done that in a long time. Rachie asks if I was still doing the witch's brew. I got an old bottle in the, it's still in the refrigerator, and I have a, mix from a different company where you don't have to mix the different kinds of things. It's all in one. I never tried it. But, yeah, that stuff used to kind of help clean me out. But then after a while of taking it, it would you know, like cause toxic buildup or something. Because if you go back and look at that article, when I fixed the siren, I said in the article, you know, I mentioned that I'm taking this tea and it's making me feel better, but it didn't last. It just worked for a while. It's interesting, but it helps. So that would have been the perfect thing for Bruce when he was really tired and running off the road. I probably could have. He doesn't like taking. He's like, hey, I don't take drugs, but you know, ginseng. I probably could have gotten him to go for. He actually slept in my driveway for like 20 minutes before he was really out of it. Before he continued on, you know, home. But like I said, he was running off the road. But he's recovering from a heart attack, so. Okay, so that was, there's been some improvement, but according to Wen, I've only taken the B2 a total of 10 times, and 5 times it was like before the funeral, or I don't remember the dates, but I got past the point where it was seemingly messing up my sleep. I made it 5 days in a row. And then I felt like, okay, time for a break. So I didn't take it today. But one day, something interesting happened. I may have taken a little more, because I would, you know, I got used to the idea, okay, this stuff is really strong. I used that tiny spoon, and one day, maybe this is what it was. I used the tiny spoon, and I just took, you know, a spoonful. Maybe that's what I did the first day. And, whoa, too strong. And so then I started taking, you know, like a rounded spoonful versus a, you know, shaking it and doing a, what do they call it? A level spoonful, a rounded, you know, versus a level. And then a couple of days I just used it more like I didn't even fill up the spoon. I just had it, you know, where it was like half a spoonful instead of like less than a level spoonful. And we're talking a tiny, this spoon is like half a pinky nail. Tiny. Well, I think the other day, well, I know what I did. I wasn't being real careful. It's just like, oh, I'm, you know, it's I guess it's helping. I'm developing a tolerance to it. Went through a few days where it didn't hurt my sleep. Well, one day I took a rounded spoonful. And again, this was after I had already taken the insulin. And I had a severe blood sugar drop. It crashed. And I went, uh-oh. And again, I felt it. It's like, okay, it says my blood sugar's low, and I feel like my blood sugar's low. I was going to test it, but I'm like, I don't have the energy to get out the meter. It's like, I need food. So going back a few hours, I reached to the back of the refrigerator and I grabbed, I've had this happen before. I used to use chocolate powder. Clay says, I have 10 of these little bottles that the test strips come in, and I fill them. Walmart sold this chocolate powder, and I went through a couple of containers of it, and then they stopped selling it. It's for making chocolate milk, but I discovered a perfectly good replacement. I just use Swiss Miss. And when I first found that chocolate powder, a big, big container of it was $5. And then it like doubled in price. And I think the equivalent size thing of Swiss Miss is like 13. But that's what I'm using these days. But when I have a drop like that, that's not enough. I mean, when my blood sugar's too low, that'll stop that. But it's not. I have had nights where that happened to me for whatever reason. I got in trouble with that when I went to Chicago. My blood sugar was taking a long time to come down. It just did not seem right. You know, I've always wondered, like, okay, what's the normal diabetic reaction? I didn't realize how long insulin took to kick in. I didn't know that you were supposed to, I kind of remember this from Leanne, but you're actually supposed to take the insulin half an hour before you eat. I didn't know that. But it's still, so it's very dependent on how toxic my system is. There are days when my blood sugar is very sluggish to come down. And for a while, I looked it up. I didn't know. The stuff they originally gave me when they switched me to the inexpensive stuff is what they call 70-30. And I assumed that that was 70 parts or 70% fast acting and 30% long acting. But to my surprise, it's the other way around. So that's odd. Well, so normally what Rachie says, I didn't know that was even a thing. So normally, again, you pay for, in the beginning, they did to me what they do to everybody. They gave me two different kinds of insulin. They gave me, so I had to give myself two shots. And, you know, they were expensive. Now I could do that if I wanted to. And it doesn't matter because the cost, but if I was taking two different kinds of insulins, I'd be paying $210 instead of $105 because you pay a maximum of $35 a month per insulin. So you really don't want to be taking two. But there are combo insulins. And typically they use 70-30 for whatever reason. There are others. I think there may be a 60-40. But there is a 50-50. And I probably should be taking the 50-50. But trying to figure out what was going on, again, why do I have to be the one doing this? Why isn't the doctor doing this? when I didn't understand how I was responding to this stuff, the delays were confusing me. And I just wanted to know how long is it taking to respond, which I absolutely could not have figured out if I didn't have a Dexcom. And so I looked this up myself. Is there an inexpensive insulin that does not have the time delay? And there is. It's called Novalin R. And the R stands for regular. It's just straight. Now, there are more expensive things. There's like fast-reacting insulins that are name brand. But there's the Novalin R is just one speed. And so I had him, I said, can we switch to Novalin R? I'm having a problem with the time delays. I'm trying to can't figure out what's going on. He says, okay. I explained to him what I wanted to do and why. He gave me Novalin R. It took that for a while. Well, what I noticed, Novalin R is meant to be mealtime insulin. It doesn't last. It's the 30 parts. I don't know why it's not the other way around, but that's what makes it last 24 hours. Novalin R is supposed to be good for like 6 hours. So what was happening is I started noticing, and this also happens if I don't take enough. I was having a problem. I also learned this from ChatGPT. There's this thing called the dawn phenomenon, where you didn't know it was a thing. You check your blood sugar at night, you know, hours after you've eaten, and the next morning, it's higher than it was the night before. I'm like, wait, how can that happen? Well, it's a thing. And there's also the dusk phenomenon, the same thing, but in the evening. And I'm like, oh, I've got that. So when I take more insulin, it keeps that under better control, but I kind of have to overcompensate. So I asked him to switch me back to the 70-30. And that eliminated the dawn phenomenon thing. It's like, okay, I was taking the right thing in the first place. But I had to take the R in order to figure out what was going on, because I'm learning here. And if the doctor's not going to tell me what's going on, because he doesn't know, I have to figure it out for myself. And sometimes you have to try things. So that's what I did. All right. So here's the problem. I go to Chicago, and it takes a long time for my blood sugar to come down. I take my insulin. I have breakfast. It's, you know, it takes hours. Well, we go out for lunch, and my blood sugar hasn't recovered from breakfast yet. So I take some more. You know, take another 20 units. So I did this like 3 times, trying to, you know, compensate for all the stuff we were eating. Okay. But it's 70% long acting and 30% short acting. So I do okay during the day. I go to bed. I get awakened in the middle of the night by a low blood sugar alarm. Now the stuff I took earlier is hitting me. The second gear, if you will. So I take, you know, I've had this happen before. So I take one of my chocolate things. And it lasts for half an hour or something, 20 minutes, and it goes low again. So I take another one. And it does it again. I'm like, oh, crap. So I grab some food from my bag and just, like, end the argument. But I've had this happen a couple of times where if I... So I still would like to have... I still have one vial of Novalin R, but I'm out of syringes. I got one syringe left, and it's actually not a prescription one. Stan gave me a box a long time ago. He was... they were using it on a cat. And they're low capacity. They're only like 20 or 30 units. I think they're 20. But they're thinner. They're smaller. They might not be long enough for, I don't know. But they are shorter. But they hurt less. But they're you know, smaller gauge. And when I tried to look them up at Walmart, I couldn't find the exact ones, but that'd be, because it's nice when you just need to take a little more. But I'm looking forward to actually being able to, they were actually going to send me the vials, but I still have like another 2 months of pens left. Clay says we gave a kitty insulin for a while. Yeah, I think Renee mentioned. I'm sure she's probably done that with a couple, knowing her. But yeah, I told them to put that order on hold. Otherwise, I'd have 6 months of insulin in my refrigerator. And I did take the, when I went to Pennsylvania, I took that last vial of Novalin R with me. And, you know, because if I take that during the day, it won't hurt me later. So I think, and I was thinking, well, damn, I wouldn't want to pay $105 twice, but then it occurred to me, oh, wait, no, it wouldn't be. That's just the maximum you pay. If it's, you know, I've had that vial for months. If I just take, you know, there's 1,000 units in a vial. If I just take 20 every once in a while, you know, I could have, you know, a couple of vials for, you know, to last me 3 months, it'd be fine for taking extra. And I came up with a way to, I got a toothbrush holder. And it's, I actually have a toothbrush in one of them, but it's, That's an electric toothbrush, and I found an oval-shaped one that fits that. But if I use the round one, you can drop the vial of insulin in there and still have room for a syringe and an alcohol pad. So that makes, you know, I could take it with me if we, you know, go out to eat or something. Some things will make, when I drink my half a glass of milk in the morning, I guess this is just how it works. It goes up right away, but the insulin takes half an hour to kick in. And then it just seems like it's really slow acting for me. But there are some things I can do. Oregano oil is one of them. And too much B2, and I can cause a blood sugar drop. That had only happened previously when I took it before the insulin. Then I was, you know, that just, pfft. But I still, if I take a little more of the B2, if I take a rounded spoonful, it was enough to do that. Now, here's another interesting thing. I mentioned the L citrulline. That gave me a headache. It also gave me a... That wasn't the end of it. I had a sore on the inside of my mouth. And my teeth hurt. And ChatGPT says, oh, you got... Like it caused some swelling or something. And there's a nerve right there. And that goes, I think that's the vagus nerve. But it goes to your, maybe that was something else. But there's a nerve there. and it goes to your teeth. So it made my teeth hurt. Well, when I took a little more of the B2, I got a headache. It wasn't as bad as what the L-citrulline did to me. It didn't last. It lasted a half a day. But it was, you know, normally I just take some ibuprofen and it kills a headache. But this was a headache that didn't want to die, but it was just half a day. And then later, the blood sugar crash. So this is all related somehow. So that was the big thing there that I wanted to get out. But I made it 5 days. And maybe it was just that I had a little more. You know, I just wasn't careful about, let's take a tiny amount. Because I was tolerating it every day when I was very careful to take a really teeny amount. And as soon as I said, it doesn't seem to be as critical, I'm getting used to it. Just the difference between a level spoonful and a rounded spoonful of this tiny spoon seemed like it made the difference. Either that or it just got to me after a while. But I think I just pushed it a little too far. So it'll be interesting to see what happens tonight. But of course, I've already stayed up late, so I've messed up everything. But we'll see. But yeah, I was getting where it wasn't hurting my sleep anymore. But that is part of that system in the body is called methylation. And so I don't know if the one, you know, if the toxic causes, because I used to I used to have a higher tolerance for folate. And I used to be sicker than I am now, sort of, you know, in a way. But maybe taking the creatine was hurting the methylation. I don't know. But I know it's a combination of different. I know folate wasn't the answer. Because it was, or maybe you just had to do it very slowly. But I had to stop. I just couldn't take it every day. I was too weak to take it every, I can't even handle these vitamins that I got. And here's another interesting thing. The vitamins are meant to be, you're supposed to take two of them. Which you can either take all at once or split up. And they have that recommended amount, that standard amount of folate in them, except it's methylfolate. This is something that wouldn't matter to most people. Folate, methylfolate, a little different. No, not in my case. Folic acid, bad. Of course, I was thinking of it like, oh my God, I'm being poisoned. By the way, it was even worse because all the vitamins you buy, even the name brands, One A Day, Centrum, they all have folic acid in them. You got to get to the more expensive stuff before you get. I only found a couple of brands that, of course, I didn't, you know, I wasn't looking at vitamin shops, I was looking at Amazon, but I found a couple. Actually, ChatGPT had specifically suggested a couple of brands. But some of them were nuts. Like, some of them you had to take, like, eight of them. But the nice, I like the fact that these were two, not because I was going to take two, but because I could take half the dose. And so if you take one, you're only getting 200 micrograms instead of 400. Still too much. That's how sensitive I am. So I don't really know what's going on here, because, as I said, while things were kind of getting better in one way, my methylation was collapsing. I would really like to know, and that, you know, that might have to do with taking the creatine. I don't know. But it would be really interesting to know, like, what would have happened if I had taken folate years ago. Well, in fact, I did take folate years ago. But I couldn't keep it up. Maybe what I needed was a really tiny... And you can't get... Obviously, I went looking for powdered folate or methylfolate. And there doesn't seem to be any such thing. There is powdered folic acid. No, bad. Keep it away. So not only was I taking a multivitamin, and have been for years, which has folic acid in it, which I is just certainly not making the problem any better. I don't. ChatGPT was like, no, don't panic. You're not taking poison. It's just harder to digest. Except in my case, who knows? But I was also taking a B complex that had its own folic acid in it. So I was getting twice the supplement dose of folic acid, which again, ChatGPT says not a big deal, but I don't know. Obviously, I stopped taking it. But yeah, I've got the... folic acid is for making you sick. It's a man-made creation that they put in a lot of food. For one thing, it's good for pregnant women. But as I said earlier, apparently 40% of the population has some issue with the MTHFR gene. So it's not something that should be in our food because it's bad for a lot of people. And pregnant women should take their own. I mean, you know, everybody knows that salt is iodized salt. What if you happen to have a problem with iodine? Then all this salt would be hurting you. It's like that. It's in the food, and I have a problem digesting it and may have a toxic buildup of it. But why would... So B2 kind of stimulates that same system without actually taking folate. Sort of like a back door, as I said. I don't know. I don't know if it's a precursor to folate, but MTHFR is what I have a problem with. And, you know, I have this other thing, you know, this MECFS, which may be, and I don't know, maybe that's the answer to this thing. This... Different people have different symptoms. It might, and I did ask ChatGPT, would this theory hold even if you didn't have the MTHFR gene mutation? And it said it would. So would this work for anybody who has it or only for certain people? Because I'm a member of a forum for ME/CFS, and one person will say, I took this and it helped, and another person will say, I took this and it did nothing for me. And I'm sure other people have tried creatine. I mean, I'm sure they've tried everything imaginable. But I knew for years it's going to turn out to be one more than one thing. If there was one simple thing you could take, this, I mean, there, you know, things are accelerating. And we've got more technology. But this thing has not been well researched. It's worse than a lot of things that get way more attention, which is one of the reasons for the ME/CFS Awareness Day. But no one's figured it out yet. There's not even a treatment for this. It's all focused on improving symptoms. Some people have pain. Some people don't have the pain. Some people have, there's a heart thing. Michelle has had some heart problems. In fact, she had heart surgery for a growth. But I got to thinking, now Michelle might have it, but it's impossible to tell with all the other meds that she's on. But she is tired, but that could be the meds. She does have pain, but that could, you know, she has back problems. But it's bad enough that they got her on something for pain, something called Flexerol. In my case, it's definitely, I don't know if it causes arthritis or if it just is attracted to it or aggravates it. Why is my back full of arthritis in my neck? I don't know. But it doesn't hurt as badly as it used to. So I don't know what the interaction there is. But Michelle does have a lot of symptoms. And one of the things that goes along with it, has a high correlation, is a heart condition called POTS. So, and that can make you dizzy when you stand up. And what I read is they test it with a tilt table, but apparently there's a simpler test. So when they started talking about heart surgery, I said, test her for POTS. Just trust me. And they did, and she doesn't have it. But I heard heart problem, and I remembered reading that, and I said, I want her tested for POTS. So I don't know if she has it. It's kind of similar to Mom in that I've suggested, I said, I would like to have her try creatine. Well, they're kind of ignoring the request. So that's not going anywhere. You know, if it helped with her pain, then we'd know. But I believe, I mean, my mother had it for decades. It took me the last year of her life before I figured it out. But it doesn't seem to have shortened her lifespan any. She just had low energy for years and a bad memory. And I've had low energy for years and now a bad memory. But I believe that I dug myself into a deep hole by taking a lot of stimulants to try and keep going. And at the time, I said, oh, this is hurting me. I know this is hurting me. Because I started crashing, and it just became obvious something is wrong. But I kept going. Rachie says, I have low energy and a bad memory. Is that perimenopause? What is perimenopause? Or does she mean pre? Hmm. Interesting. Oh, okay. Premenopause. But you're like 30 years old. I guess she's not anymore. She's just 46. That's still kind of young. I don't know what. There was a that weird guy in Pennsylvania I knew. Apparently, he is not doing well. I thought he got married. He just lives with this woman, and they had a baby. And his name was Ken Garber. We were the two out at the lake that nobody else wanted, so we hung out together. He was kind of rough, and he had a sister I liked, but she was, that whole family was industrial strength. And they yelled, oh my God, they all had lungs on them. The person with the loudest, who could scream the loudest, won the argument in that house. The mother couldn't make it. She had a, it would have been interesting to see her again. Oh my God, she must be older than dirt by now. But I remember, you know, I kind of liked the one sister, but she was, I was like, oh my God, this is, I told her, I says, you're, when I saw her at the funeral, I said, you're industrial strength. You're an industrial strength woman. And she said, I like that. But she married this thin wisp of a guy. And I'm like, oh my God, he doesn't know what he's getting into. She's going to get pissed off one day, and she's going to use him to mop the floor. And she said, yeah, that's pretty much what happened. And then I think she said he got abusive, and she just, Rachie says, ha, ha, ha. But, yeah, I always kind of liked her and went, oh, she is too much woman for me. But, yeah, she gave me a big hug. Rachie knows how I like hugs. She gave me a big hug at the funeral, and I said, I always liked you. She said, I always liked you, too. And the other sister was there too, Lori, who actually used to, Lori lived in Chicago for a while, and she majored in speech therapy, which is one of the things my mother majored in. So she mentored Lori a bit. But yeah, they both of, the whole family, both of the sisters had all kinds of mental, had all kinds of health problems. And I know when I asked the mother, Shelley, and I follow her on Facebook, so I had talked to her, a little bit. I always wanted to get her and mom together. They were childhood friends. I hadn't told her mom was in a nursing home, but Shelly was still going. So she had the daughters are like my age. Lori's a little, Shari's about my age. Lori's a little younger. And then there's a brother, Ken, who, like I said, he and I used to hang out, and he was, he was a little scary, but apparently he's just like drug addicted now, and he's a mess, and he wasn't there. I guess they invited him, but he didn't come. And Shelley had a doctor's appointment apparently. It would have been nice to have seen her. I wonder if she can still yell. But, so she had three kids. And then years go by. And she had a whole nother batch. I remember when they were babies, David and Elena. And I hadn't seen them since they were babies. I still haven't seen them. But David and Elena are like high school or college age now. So she's got five kids. She's in her 80s. We were down in Scranton, too. I made a comment. We should go see Shelley. I don't know where she lives, but I think she's still in Scranton. I mean, she's in the area somewhere, but we actually went to a pizza place in Scranton. So we went to this. My mother would definitely approve. We went to this pizza place called Grand Teed's. I'd been there before. My mother used to go there when she was young. So that was cool. All right. So that's most of the Richie says very cool. Yeah. I did not have a pizza. I was not in the mood for pizza. I made a joke since we flew into Philly. I says, "Oh, I should get a Philly cheesesteak." But I did get to compensate. When we were at Grand Teed's, I had a cheesesteak sandwich. I told you the big news. I fell over. If I had fallen forward, I literally would have fallen into her grave. We were right on the edge of it was a graveside funeral. Yeah, I agree. Rachie says, probably better for you than pizza. Philly cheesesteak. It wasn't a Philly cheesesteak. It was a Scranton cheesesteak. And remember, I've still spent far more time in Scranton than Joe Biden ever did. And that's true. So that was a proud moment, falling on my back. And of course, somebody, the first one to rush over was a woman. I don't know who it was. And she goes to grab my arm, and I just look at her like, oh, this is going to take more than you. But yeah, it took a couple of people to get me up. And then I gave Mom's eulogy, which Pat read on a previous show. So here's the big story from that. When my grandfather died, I was standing right by his grave. Not when he died, but, 2 weeks ago. My mother and her sister, Anita, there were a couple of jokes. One of them was they used to get through it. Somebody started the joke and my grandfather adopted it and started using it. When I die, I want to be buried with my credit card. You shouldn't charge the funeral. And so it became a running joke. And apparently, during the funeral, they would make the scissors motion with their fingers to just make the other one chuckle, and they used that to get through it. So there was another story that had long been told in the family. I didn't remember one part of it. The story was, this is the part I didn't remember. I knew it involved pulling off something, but my cousin Les filled in the gaps for me. My grandfather wanted to go to a New York show, particular New York show. And Anita said, "You'll never get tickets. That's been sold out for months." He said, "Watch me." And she said, "If you pull this off, I'm going to get you a feather for your cap." He did it. And she got him a feather. So at the funeral, at his funeral, they both swore that they looked down, and on the ground, they saw a red feather. And the way I heard the story, they asked after the funeral, "Did anybody else see this?" They went to the groundskeeper. Did you see this? Did you find this cleaning up afterwards? Nobody saw it. But they swore it happened. That's the way I heard the story. Well, Les told me something different. He says, "Oh, no. I found the feather." Yeah, I collect them now. I kind of got obsessed with it. And this was, you know, before the funeral. And I said, "Oh, I never heard that. I think I would have heard about that." And if he found the feather, why didn't he, well, I could, you know, why didn't he send it to my mother? Why didn't, maybe he gave it to his mother. But I think I would have heard about that. Well, after the funeral, we went to a cafe in town to eat. And Les gives me a feather. And I thought, "Oh, he's upholding the tradition." I'm like, "Yeah, when did he get this?" And he says, "No, I found it on the ground." And I'm like, "No." Well, that's what he says. And I thought, where would he get a feather? But, I mean, I want to believe that, but the fact that he supposedly found the feather from my grandfather's funeral, and I never heard about that. And my mother would tell that story. She was like, "Nobody ever found it. Nobody could ever prove it happened." I question that. And I was thinking about it, and I thought, "Oh, he probably just brought it from home." So, I want to believe it. The other thing is, these days, Les is a major pothead. So, I just, I don't know. I want to believe, but I am really skeptical. And the other bizarre thing that happened, again, memory. I can't remember if it happened. I think it was before the eulogy. It had to be. There was a very, we were worried about rain, but the forecast changed to a 15% chance of rain. And it was supposed to be, according to the hourly forecast, after we were done. And as the rabbi is doing his thing, apparently, I didn't see this, but dark clouds rolled in. And I didn't notice that, but Les was watching it. But there was a sudden cloudburst. Just suddenly started pouring down. And it lasted like under 10 minutes. And then just moved out as fast as it came in. But when I fell, I'm laying on the ground thinking, God is angry. And Les says, no, God is crying, or your mother's crying, or whatever. But boy, there seemed to be a lot of symbol. He wants me to believe my mother sent me a feather. I want to believe. I just don't know if I can. He would never admit it. And it probably would, I'll tell Ken. I'll mention to Ken that I'm suspicious. But I guess I can't say it to Les. It's just, you can't, he'd never admit it. Maybe on his deathbed. Yeah, I brought that from home. But he claims he found it on the ground. Rachie says, LOL, he was doing something nice, I guess. I don't know. He's a sentimental guy. It could be it's a nice gesture either way. But did he bring it, or did it come from my mother? Okay, there's one other thing. I've talked about this before many times. Yeah. Rachie says, I would want to believe that it came from your mother. Me too. I just don't know. But I'll ask Ken what he thinks next time I talk to him. Okay. So, everybody has heard this story. My first year practicing Buddhism, I was out at the cottage, and we didn't have, this was in 1989 or 88. I started in 88. We didn't have cable TV. We had three TV channels. No internet out at the cottage. So I was reading a book, which is very difficult for me. Maybe Renee will tell me someday, but we were talking about, I guess Doug and I were talking about Renee reading books, and we were wondering, how did this happen? I know Renee used to read books, but these days it's harder for her. She can't do it like she used to. And it was always hard for me. Very hard on my eyes. But I'm reading this book, and there's a great quote in there. And I'm thinking, oh, my mother will love this. And the quote was, no matter how thick the Earth's crust, it will not support one who is undutiful to his parents. I said, hey, Mom, listen to this. And she says, oh, I love that. She says, I want that on a pillow. And it took me, had in the back of my mind, it took me 30 years. But one year while contemplating a gift for her birthday, I remembered that. And I had the pillow made. I didn't have all my normal programs because I was in Chicago. So actually, Renee helped with the making the graphic. And had the pillow made. And I gave it to her. Somewhere I have a picture. And she clutched it. And she said, I want to be buried with this. And I remembered that. So in talking to the lady at the funeral home, I know, I don't think I'd ever been to a funeral. Everything I knew about funerals is from stuff I had seen on TV, all of which was in the Christian tradition. So, you know, I had lots of questions, and we went over, you know, what's the dress, you know, how do we dress, you know, like, was Michelle okay to wear slacks, or, you know, did she need a dress, and, you know, et cetera, and do I have to get an outfit for my mother? And she said, there's a ceremonial robe kind of thing, garment. So didn't have to worry about that for Mom. And I said, are we going to, you know, view the body? And she says, no, that's not how it works. You know, there are cleaners who clean and dress the body, and then, you know, we don't open the casket again. And I told her about the pillow, and she says, well, we typically don't allow anything else in, you know, to be put in the casket. And, you know, she's, you know, but I told her the story, like I just mentioned it, and she says, but it sounds important. Bring it with you. And so I took that to mean, wink, wink, nod, nod, we'll make it happen. And so I, you know, I asked her about it. And, you know, I didn't know if they were going to let me see her or what. She was kind of vague about it. And she said something about the side, you know, I didn't know if she meant like driving around to the side or something. She says, oh, well, now there's all these people are here. We can't do it. But she said, you know, then she said, you know, come around to the side of the hearse. And she opens up the top of the casket and she tosses it in and she looks at me and she says, this didn't happen. I was like, got it. So after the, and I think the cousins knew about that. I can't remember now. I don't remember if that was between me and her or, I mean, I certainly told them about it in the past, but honestly, I don't remember. But at any rate, it was like it got done. I mean, that was, as I told her, I said, well, that were my mother's wishes. She grew up in an Orthodox family, but she was not observant. I mean, we used to do Hanukkah, but I don't know, Rachie. It's just the way the Jewish tradition is. It's a Jewish cemetery. I don't know. As I said, I have no basis, no reference. I told her mom wasn't observant, and that was because of my father, who did everything to discourage her. He was raised Jewish and didn't want any part of it. He went through his bar mitzvah, and, after that, you're free to decide. In the Jewish tradition, you're a man at 13 years old, and you can do what you want. And he says, okay, I'm never coming back. And I pretty much did the same thing. I just said, I even said it in the eulogy. I said, I went to Sunday school, but I didn't find anything that connected with my life and made me want to continue. And I did mention that I practice Buddhism, and I mentioned the pillow. I didn't, all I said was I gave her this, this pillow with this saying that I read to her 30 years prior, and she treasured it. Rachie says, I did the same. I said, one day I want to quit this scripture stuff. It's not my thing. And everyone was horrified, but I never went back. This was in school. I had the two obligations. There was the bar mitzvah, which happened and then at the end of the year is your confirmation, which is the whole class. So I had my bar mitzvah, I completed the confirmation class, and that was it for me in Judaism. And I was told that was pretty much what my father did, so followed in my father's footsteps. And had no interest in religion until years later, when somebody got me involved in Buddhism, and I said, wait a minute, isn't that a religion? I don't do religion. I could have been just like the, fortunately I was conservative leaning, but that's pretty much the modern, young people's attitude towards religion. I don't need this. But fortunately, I found one that was where they were connecting it to, hey, this will improve your life. And I said, oh, well, that's okay, I'm suspicious, but my life needs a lot of improvement. So, all right, I guess, maybe. Kind of had a rough start, but I eventually did it, and here I am today. Doing long streams. So, okay, no doubt I will remember all of, I didn't mention such and such and such and such, but I wanted to get in. I really did have intentions of doing a brief, and we want to watch A House Before We Go to Bed. That was a great show. I intended to keep it brief, but that never happens. It would really be nice if the combination of the creatine and the B2, like, solves this thing. But the B2 is definitely doing something. And I was getting a higher tolerance for it. So whether it's the creatine or just, I don't know, the methylation was just seemingly collapsing. And obviously it wasn't, they don't seem to directly correlate, because I've been worse, and I've also in the past, you know, been able to take more folate or methylfolate than I can now. So I don't know what the connection is. But for whatever reason, the creatine has kept me going all while the methylation was seemingly getting worse. Clay says, thanks for the update. Have a good sleep. Yeah, something which happens a lot more these days. How about that? I've got a serious illness which majorly messes with my sleep, and I'm sleeping better than Rachie is. That's just weird. And my mother had it too. Well, try glycine. Rachie says, so when you can't sleep, remember, I'm probably awake too. Well, like I said, I pretty much got it down to a system. I take, well, as soon as I lay down, there's something uncomfortable about being on my back. And one of the theories is that the ME/CFS could be spinal. But as soon as I lay down, I start with the twitching, and the Ambien calms that. It just, it's like the only thing I've ever found that works. But I can fall asleep in my chair, no problem. It's being in bed where it's hard to sleep. But the glycine is helping. I'm getting more sleep. And then the coconut oil lets me fall back to sleep. So glycinate? That sounds like something for is that a diabetes thing? I used to take something like that for diabetes for years. Oh, it's a form of magnesium. Oh, magnesium glycinate? Or glycosine, something like that. I take that. Glycinate. Let me see. I think it's magnesium. I want to say magnesium glycine. No, not glycine. Yeah. Let's look up magnesium. In my order history. Oops, not filter. How do you? Oh, you have to hit enter on it. Oh, okay. magnesium glycinate. Yeah. Okay. Well, as I said, I like powders. Oopsie, wrong room. There, Rachy. Here's what I take. Same stuff. Yeah, totally different from glycine. Glycine is something that, well, so is magnesium. It's something natural in the body. It also is kind of sugary tasting, which is kind of pleasant. Oh, let's see. As long as I'm here, I might as well. Yeah, that's interesting. I wonder if they are at all related. Okay, here is... Here is the other stuff. Okay, that's what I take that made a... It's supposed to help with sleep in general, but it made a huge difference for me, but I think for a different reason. But that might be worth a try. Okie dokie. Well, I guess I will finish my hours of streaming. I was at about like 4:05, like 5.5 hours. Oh, good Lord. It was just going to be a brief stream. There was a feather at my mother's funeral. I found some stuff that helps. Glycine and coconut oil and Rachy says, LOL, we enjoyed your company. Well, you know what they say about company. It's enjoyable for a while, and then after a while, it starts to stink. Oh, but I don't stink. Yeah. Well, Randy wanted you to do a show. I wonder if he listened. Let's see how many people are still listening. Five people. Of course, I have to remember that even when it was four people, it's only actually three because the recording task is one of them. I mentioned it earlier. I came back from Pennsylvania with us, you know, all those people, I had a sore throat and I knew I was getting sick. And I've usually, when I have a sore throat, I go right for the vitamin C and I can head it off. But I have these zinc Zicam, and it holds it off. So I had one this morning. I had one earlier. Well, now it's been, you know, hours, and but yeah, it'll. I probably need to be taking like 3 or 4 a day. I mean, I did in the middle when I was sick, but I was really sick. I felt as bad as when I had COVID. Could have been, you know, could be. I did take a test, but it was, you know, a lot of them are, it's expired. You know, a lot of us had tests laying around. The test was negative. It's possible, you know, it could have been COVID or could have just been a cold. And it didn't last as long. I mean, it was only like 3 days, but the cough's been kind of hanging on. But my nose was running like crazy. And, you know, the sore throat was the first thing to show up and the first symptom to leave. But then the leaky nose turned to, you know, there's a lot of blowing my nose. And then suddenly I start having these uncontrollable nosebleeds. And like I said, it was 7 before I went to the emergency room. I had another 3 or 4. I made an appointment for my regular doctor, which is covered now under the insurance I have. I have a 0 copay for doctor's visits. Now, the emergency room visit was $100, $120. But the doctor was actually more helpful. He gave me that Neosporin, and that seemed to, and he said, use saline nasal spray. And I did that and haven't had any since. So it's been, I think as of tomorrow, it'll be a week since I've had one. So I don't know. I was still, you know, I went in with one bleeding all over myself. So, I mean, the most likely thing is just the Neosporin, the neosinephrine worked. But I don't know. Seemed to be okay with that now. So that's my story. Okay. Goodbye, goodbye, goodbye. Time to stop the stream. I wonder how many people will listen later. Like, post to the mailing list if you heard it. Rachie says, night, Blair, sleep well. I need a nice Rachie to cuddle up with. I need some food. Okay. Bye-bye.